So we come here to the monastery to practice. Practice meditation. Practice the Four Noble Truths. Sila. The precepts. The five precepts. Or for us, the eight precepts. Samadhi. The ability to concentrate on one point, be it the Buddha or be it the breath. And develop sati. The knowingness of the breath. Come in front. And then, Panya, develop wisdom. That is the path that leads to the end of dukkha. Or the path that leads to the end of birth and death. Remember, when we are born as a human being, the first 15 years we train this body. We train to walk, we train to talk, we train to think, we train to speak. 15 years before we can use this body. then we look, for a job, to do. And then we work and work and work until we don't have any more energy. Then we get retired, and then we wait for the death to come. That is life in a nutshell. And then we die, and then we are born again, and do the same thing over and over and over again. That's why it's called samsara, the cycle of birth and death. Once you die, you're born again. Once you're born, you will die again. And so on, and so on. And when the Lord Buddha, investigated it, he found the way out. And he teaches us the way out of dukkha. The way to Nibbana, or to the end of samsara. But we are stuck here, and we are practicing. We're not only practicing meditation to get the mind calm, we're practicing, meditation, to to get rid of the kilesas that constantly drag us, they constantly drag us here and drag us there, want this and want that, not satisfied with this, not satisfied with that. I need to look at this, I need to look at that, I want to know this, I want to know that, they constantly drag us alone, And with that, we also have this dukkha, The dissatisfaction. Dukkha is not only pain and suffering, it is this dissatisfaction, this ease, pain, suffering. And it comes, we see something we don't want to see, it's dukkha, When we are hungry, it's dukkha. When we are thirsty, it's dukkha. When we don't want to get up in the morning, it's dukkha, let me sleep, I don't want to go to work, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that, I just want to sleep, dukkha. When we need to go to the toilet, it's dukkha. When we are tired, it's dukkha. That's the dukkha of the body. But we don't like this, it's dukkha. We want this, it's dukkha. Tanha, desire. We are not satisfied with this, we are not satisfied with that. We want this, we want that, we want to be this, we want to be that. Constantly, it is like a voice, in our ears, constantly tell us what to do, And we have not realized that this voice is the voice of the kilesas and not us. It's not me, it's not mine, it's not myself. like all the other things, like rupa, vedana, sanya, sankhara, vinyana. The body. The body is not me. It is born and it dies, But the chitta that is the owner of the body doesn't die. Never dies. It just goes like we go, from one place to the next place. It goes from one body to the next body. That is the chitta. Or the kama. Kama that is attached to the chitta. We go, from one place to the others, just like in this world. From one country to the next country, And what do we see in all these countries, that we go to, we see people, we see houses, we see trees, we see water and so on. We see the sky, So nothing is really different, But for us, it is different. Yeah? That is just one thing. Yeah? The body. Yeah? The body, you know, is young, you know, then it grows old. Yeah, it gets sick, you know, and then it dies. Yeah? Feeling. Yeah? It's the next thing. Yeah? Bodily feeling or mental feeling. Yeah? It's not me. It's not mine. It's not myself. Because who knows that there is a feeling? Yeah? Next time try to ask the feeling, do you know your feeling? And who puts a label on the feeling? We put a label on the feeling and say, this is a nice feeling, this is a bad feeling, this is a feeling I want, this is a feeling I don't want. Yeah. But the feeling is a feeling, it arises and it ceases to exist. Yeah. And then the next feeling comes, or just like with the thought. Yeah. The thought comes and the thoughts disappear. Yeah. Memory comes and memory disappears. But who knows these things? It's a citta, or it's a knowingness. Right? And that is what we are going to develop in meditation. We want to know what is going on in our life. Yeah? We want to know what is happening. What came before this? What came before that? Yeah? I mean, before we get angry, what happened in our mind? Yeah? What kind of thought came before we got angry? What kind of visuals, or what kind of hearing did we have, or what kind of tasting did we have before we got angry? What was the thought around us? What were the memories around us? Yeah, all these things. And now we don't know. You know, we just get angry. You know, and then we react on the anger. You know, let it out. You know, and don't know what we are doing actually. And meditation is there, you know, to get a grip on it. Yeah? To understand what is going on, what we are doing, why we are doing it, and what the results of our doing is. And for most of people, they just do. Yeah, I mean, the Kilesas tell us, okay, I want this, you know, or I need to go there, I need to go there, I need to have this, I need to have that. And we just say, yes, 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 yes. We never think about it. Why? Why do we need this thing? And the nice thing about, you know, when we can enter samadhi where there are no thoughts and no memories, you know, we are happy. We don't need anything at all because we are happy in our heart. That's why we have to learn meditation to set the mind quiet, to quiet the mind, yeah, to completely calm it, yeah. And how do we do it? You know, we either do, you know, anapanasati, or we do the mental repetition of the word Buddha. Yeah? We stick with the Buddha, 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 Buddha. Yeah? When the mind goes out, we bring it back to the Buddha, 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 Buddha. Then the mind goes out and we bring it back. And for bringing back the mind to the Buddha, that is where we need our power. That's where we need our energy. Because the citta doesn't want, or the mind doesn't want to go back. It wants to roam around freely in the world. Yeah, think about this, think about that. Yeah? I mean, we have done that since our birth, you know. I mean, we think about this, we think about that, we imagine this and we imagine that, you know. But nothing of that is true. Nothing of that comes true. Yeah? We just imagine things, you know, to be like this or to be like that. Yeah? But we actually do not know how these things are. Yeah? And when we look at a tree, you know, we imagine it to be like this. We don't know the true nature of a tree. We don't know the true nature of a being. We don't know it, yeah? We assume we know. Yeah? And that's where we are led astray. We assume we know. So meditation is, you know, first to calm the mind until there's no thoughts and memories. Yeah? With no thoughts and memories, there comes no association. There comes no labeling. Yeah, we just see, we just experience, you know, how things are. And that is satisfying within itself. And this is called upachara samadhi. Yeah? We enter upachara samadhi, yeah? And then when we go out, when we leave upachara samadhi, our mind is concentrated and we feel energized. That is always a sign, yeah, that we have entered samadhi. If we have not entered samadhi, if we just get close to, you know, quiet, you know, I mean, then we feel tired, yeah, because it's an effort. It's an effort to always bring the mind back to the Buddha or bring the mind back to the breath. When we do the breath, it's the same thing, you know. I mean, we observe the breath going in and the breath going out, yeah. Know that the breath is long or short, you know, is detailed or rough. We don't want to make the breath in any way, yeah? I mean, we want to know how the breath is, yeah? So we observe it, yeah? When we are here in the forest monastery, you know, I mean, we can observe, you know, we can observe the animals, you know, the small animals, the ants, you know, or the squirrels, you know, we can observe them, look at them, you know, and we know what they are doing. We don't have to put a label on, we don't have to think about what they are doing. And that is the same thing with our breath or with the Buddha. We know that the Buddha is fast, or we know that the Buddha is slow, or we know that the Buddha is detailed, or, you know, whatever. Yeah? It's the same with the breath. We know. Yeah? And this kind of knowingness that we have to develop. Yeah? And lots of people, you know, just, you know, I mean, the moment they get calm, then they stay with the feeling of calm. That is not meditation. Yeah? We have to develop, you know, we have to know that the breath, you know, I mean, yeah. We have to know that the breath goes in, we have to know that the breath goes out, or we have to know that the Buddha is there. Yeah. So don't go on to any feelings that appear, yeah, as a result of our meditation. Just stick with the Buddha, or just stick with the breath, yeah, until we enter samadhi. Yeah. And when we enter samadhi, it's automatically that we're still with the Buddha, or we're still with the breath, yeah. And the feeling of calm and the feeling of concentration comes. When we come out, you know, after a while, you know, we feel concentrated, you know, and we feel, yeah, and we feel energized, yeah. That is always, the result, you know, that we have been into samadhi, yeah. Then we can go on, you know, I mean, this is upachara samadhi or aksa samadhi. We can go on, yeah. With Anapanasati, we can go on until you will see, you know, I mean, the more we concentrate on the breath, yeah, and the better our concentration is, yeah, I mean, the more the world disappears, yeah, until we come to a point, you know, where also parts of the body disappear, until, you know, until there's only, you know, the part of the citta, until we become one-pointed, until the breath stops, you know, and then we jump into the knowingness that knows that the breath stops. Huh? And then we go into apana samadhi, or deep state of samadhi. There's nothing we can say about the deep state of samadhi, because it is one-pointedness. Yeah? We live in a duality, and in the moment we get into one-pointedness, the duality stops to work. Yeah? And that is the first wonder of meditation. Yeah? There's nothing there. Yeah. Well, there is something there. There is a knowingness, but it is a pure knowingness that doesn't know of any object. Yeah? Or, you know, like Linda Mahabhor said, it is the privy of Nibbana. Yeah? And it's not boring. Yeah. I mean, you go in one moment, and the next moment you get out. But during that time, it can pass. You know, hours or days can pass. You're just there in the deep state of concentration. But when you come out, you know, I mean, can guarantee you, the first thought is, I want to go back. Because it's utterly satisfying. Yeah? It is absolutely satisfying. And the longer you've been into apana samadhi, when you come out, you don't know who you are, you don't know where you are, you don't know what you're doing. Because you need to create your personality again. Yeah? That is the result of apana samadhi. When we stayed, you know, for a while in it, you know, I mean, we have to recreate through memories, through thoughts, our personality, who we are, why we are, you know, where we are, and so on. Yeah? Because when we come out, you know, we don't know. Yeah? We come back in duality and we don't know. Yeah? I mean, it is amazing, you know, you see actually how your personality is constructed. Yeah, that's why the Lord Buddha probably called it delusion. You know, the world that we live in is a delusion. We think because of our memories, you know, because of our thoughts, because of our body, because of our feeling, it slowly comes back, you know, and then we are there again, yeah. It is not easy, you know, to reach apana samadhi, you know, for us, most of the time, for us, it is, enough, you know, to reach Upachara Samadhi. Even, you know, even if we stay long enough in Upachara Samadhi, I mean, when we come out, you know, we can feel, you know, feel a disconnect, you know, from our personality, and then it comes back, yeah. Slowly it comes back, but not the same as, you know, when we enter Apana Samadhi. And what do we do then, yeah? I mean, we have, you know, we have the 8 precepts, you know, sila, and we learn samadhi, and then we do investigation, yeah? Investigation, yeah, of the things that we think we are attached to. So, what are we attached to? We are attached to the body, we are attached to feeling, we are attached to thoughts, and, yeah, and we are attached to memory, association and memory, and we are attached to consciousness. These things we have to investigate. Our attachment to this, yeah? I mean, how often do we worry about this body, yeah? I mean, the body is the first thing, yeah? And bodily feelings is the first thing that we investigate. The body is born, you know, the body dies, you know? I mean, it takes a long time, yeah? So we cannot really observe that, just like we can observe, you know, feelings coming and feelings going, or thoughts coming and thoughts going. But, you know, the body, yeah, I mean, what is the body, yeah? Is the head the body, yeah? Is the arms the body? Is the legs the body? Is the torso the body, yeah? Is the heart the body? Is the liver the body? You know, what is the body? Is the body, yeah? These are just body parts, yeah? What makes a body? What makes the body a body? We never think about it, we just, you know, look at it and say, ah, that's my body, yeah? It's not my body, you know, it's a body that we inhabit, yeah? Like, you know, I mean, like the younger generation, when they play video games, you know, they inherit a figure in the video game and then they play it, you know, and they become this figure, yeah? So when we are born, the citta enters the body, you know, and then it plays the body, you know, and plays it out, yeah? It's nothing else, you know, it's very similar to a video game where we choose one person, you know, one figure, you know, and then we play the game. And same with life, yeah? We choose this body, you know, and then we play the game of life, yeah? And when the life is over, we play the next game of life, yeah? That's what it is, yeah? And what we are attached to, yeah? I mean, like people, you know, attached to these video games, yeah? When game over, you know, they play again. Why? Because they love it, yeah? It's the same with us, yeah? When game over, you know, when we are dead, you know, we play again, yeah? We choose another form of body, yeah? Not necessarily a human body, you know, there's 31 realms of existence. We can choose, you know, I mean, depending on our merit, we can choose any kind of body, yeah? If our merit is not enough, you know, if we have done a lot of bad things, you know, I mean, we go down to hell, yeah? Or we go in the ghost realm, yeah? Or we become animals, yeah? Or, you know, sometimes we become demons, so. Or we become back as a human being, or we go to the heavenly world, yeah? So, and then become, you know, once the heavenly world, you know, is gone, you know, we go to the hell, yeah? Because we have done good karma and we have done bad karma. And good karma, you know, I mean, if we have the merit, you know, to go to the heaven, we spend our good karma there, just like we go on holiday, yeah? And we spend our money, yeah? Until the money is over, yeah? And then we go back and work, yeah? It's the same, you know? With you know, I mean, with death, you know, I mean, we have to go and face hell for a while, yeah? And once our debt is cleared, yeah? The debt of bad karma is cleared, then we come back up. So we go up and go back and go down, yeah? That's why I call, you know, samsara not, you know, the the circle of birth and death, yeah? I call it a roller coaster. We go up, and then we go down. And then we go up again, and we go down. Yeah? Unless, you know, unless we find a way out. And the way out is sila, samadhi, panya. And the first thing, you know, that we have to investigate really, yeah, is this body, is our attachment to the body. Yeah? When we look at our life, I mean all, yeah, I mean most of our thoughts are around this body, yeah. It doesn't matter if it is a profession, if it is food, you know, if it is clothes, if it is, you know, the outside of the body, you know, if it's our skin, you know, if it is our hair, yeah. I mean, it's all about the body. Yeah? Traveling, you know, it's about the body. Seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, thinking. It's all about the body. Our whole life is all about the body. Yeah? And we think we are the body. And that is this thought, this attachment we have to break. It is one of the fetters, you know, that binds us, you know, to the samsara or to the roller coaster, or sometimes I call the hamster wheel. Yeah? Have you ever seen a hamster in a hamster wheel? Running, but not going anywhere at all. That's us. We don't go anywhere, you know, we just run around, you know, from one life to the next life, not knowing what we are doing, thinking that we know what we are doing, but not really knowing what we are doing, because we're running after our desires, yeah? Running away from bad experiences and running after good experiences. Sometimes, you know, I compare, you know, with a dog, you bind a sausage in front of him and some tin cans on his tail, you know. I mean, he constantly runs. He runs after the, you know, he runs away from the noise and he runs after the sausage. That's us. Yeah? That's not different. And that is what we have to investigate, you know, our attachment to these things. Stop. Yeah? To stop running and see, you know, what is really going on. Yeah? The body is the body, you know, and the citta is occupying, is the owner of the body, but it's also the owner of the other khandhas, of feeling, of memory, thoughts, and association, yeah, and consciousness, yeah. It's the owner, yeah. It's a toolbox, yeah. The five khandhas are the toolbox, you know, of the citta, yeah. I mean, most of the time, you know, the kilesas use it for their entertainment, or infotainment, yeah, whatever you call it, yeah, entertainment, yeah, for the entertainment purposes. And sometimes we use it, you know, when we sit down and, okay, now let's try to concentrate, you know. Then, you know, the Dhamma is using it. Yeah? Because there are two powers in our citta. It's the darkness and the light. The light is the Dhamma and the darkness are the kilesas. Yeah? And whoever sits on the throne, you know, has to say, yeah. Can command the body around, can command, you know, the five khandhas around. Yeah? And this is something that we have to understand. If we want to get out of the cycle of birth and death, you know, we have to understand it. Yeah? So, and one of the most important fetters for us, yeah, who believe in karma, who believe in heaven and hell, you know, because that is the first fetter, yeah? Who keep the five precepts, you know, or the eight precepts, you know, that is the second fetter. Constantly keeping them, breaking them, that is breaking the second fetter. The third fetter is the attachment to the body, thinking that we are the body. Yeah? Who can break, you know, the first three fetters, you know, can enter the stream. Yeah? And the stream, you know, guarantees us, you know, that within 7 years or 7 lifetimes, you know, we will become an arahant. Yeah? We will finally get out. Yeah? But our attachment to the body is, you know, is the worst, you know. I mean, it is really tough. It's a really tough training. Yeah? Knowing, yeah. Okay, seeing the body, you know. Worrying about the body, yeah. Constantly wanting something for this body. This attachment, yeah. Oh, this is nice. That is not so nice. Yeah? Because also, greed and hate, you know, are within this body. Yeah? Whatever we like about the body, yeah. Whatever goes on the body or in the body is nice. We like it. Whatever comes out of the body, we dislike. That's where greed and hate are coming from. Nice shirt, you know? Oh, that's a nice shirt. When we take it off, it stinks, yeah? We don't like it, you know? So we wash it, yeah? And then put it on again, yeah? So whatever comes out of the body, we dislike. Whatever goes in or onto the body, we like, yeah? That's where greed and hatred, yeah, are for. Yeah? So the investigation of the body is first our disassociation, seeing that the body and the self, the body and the citta are two different things. Yeah? Putting the body out in front of us, cutting up in bits and pieces and looking at the bits and pieces. And who is actually looking at the bits and pieces? Huh? I mean, when you take out the heart, you can see it, you know, or you should be able to see it. Yeah, okay, that's a heart. Yeah, but who knows that it's a heart? The heart doesn't know it's a heart. Yeah, the brain doesn't know it's a brain. But we know that it's a brain, heart, you know, the arms, the legs, you know, whatever, the torso, yeah, and the head, yeah, and the hair, and the nails, you know, and the teeth, you know, we know it, yeah. Hmm? But the teeth don't know that they are teeth, huh? Because we put a label on them. Hmm? So when you take all the things out there, when all the things are out there, you know what sits there and knows, yeah. So how can the knowingness be the same as the body? How can the chitta be the same as the body? How can the chitta be the same as feeling? The chitta knows the feeling, yeah? I am feeling, yeah? No, I am the feeling. No, I am not the feeling. I know there is a feeling. And that's how we can investigate. Huh? When I say I am depressed, there is no investigation possible, yeah? But when I say, see, yeah, okay, there's a feeling of depression, then I can investigate. When I say there's a feeling of pain, then I can investigate. But when I say I'm in pain, over, finished. The moment is the same with the body. I'm the body, over, no investigation possible. Because I cannot investigate myself. But I can investigate whatever is not me, not mine, not myself. Yeah, and feeling is not me, not mine, and myself. Yeah, thought is not me, not mine, and myself. Yeah, all the thoughts, you know, that come up. You know, I mean, how many of these thoughts have you invited? Yeah, how many of these feelings have you invited? Yeah, how can they be you? Yeah, you can think, you know, if you want to specifically think. Yeah, you can bring up a thought. Yeah, or you can bring up a memory. But how often do you do that? I mean, it's just going on, yeah. So, there's a thought, yeah? There's a feeling, there's a body, yeah. Distance yourself from the five khandhas, yeah. That is part of the investigation. And then see the attachment to the body, yeah. To see the attachment, yeah. What is the body? The body is the body and the knowingness is the knowingness, huh? That's why we have to train in meditation, you know, the knowingness, sati. Knowing there's a breath. We are not the breath. There is breath. There's the Buddha. Yeah. Knowing that there's a Buddha. Knowing how the Buddha is. Knowing how the breath is. And knowing, you know, how the body is. You know? What body part is the body? Yeah. If you assemble, yeah, disassemble the body in all its body parts, you can use the 32 body parts. Or you can just play around, you know. I mean, just cut it up, you know, in bits and pieces, yeah? And then ask, what body part is a body? Huh? And then you assemble it again, you know? If you don't assemble it, you know, in the right fashion, is it a body? Yeah? Just like some people, you know, have their brains between the legs, you know, and other people, you know, and the ass on the top of it, yeah? Whatever comes out, you know, is BS, yeah? Is it a body? No. Yeah. It's only a body, you know, when it works, you know, according to our understanding. Yeah. So, play around with it, you know, see. Yeah. And there is, you know, the moment all the body parts, yeah, are not there, are not sitting there, you know, you see them in front of you, you know. I mean, there's a kind of separation. Yeah. And this separation can be strong or it can be weak. Yeah. If it is weak, we have to do it over and over and over again until suddenly, you know, there comes the insight, you know, body and chitta are two different things. Yeah? That is what is necessary for entering the stream, if you cut the first two fetters as well. Okay, with this I end the talk, yeah? If you have questions, you know, you can ask. Laura? Yeah, Oliver?
Just now you mentioned about duality.
Yeah.
What does that mean, duality?
Yeah. What do you want to know about duality?
I don't know what does it mean.
Duality is, yeah, I see something. Yeah. We live in duality, you know. That's why we can, you know, our language is dual. I You know, the subject and the object, yeah? That is duality. If subject and object become one, we cannot say anything. Yeah? That is one-pointedness, yeah? When the citta and becomes one, you know, when thoughts, you know, when the citta and, you know, the object observed become one and the thing, you cannot say anything about it anymore because our language doesn't cover it. Our language can only cover duality. Yeah? Okay? Yeah?
I practice meditation today and I feel a lot of pain in my knees. Only my knees getting really hard for me. So that's normal. It's part of the training.
Yeah. It's very normal. Yeah? But first, if we want to investigate feelings, the first thing is we have to accept feelings. Yeah? So we have to breathe in, actually, you know, the feeling of pain. That is what we don't want, and if we don't want it, it becomes stronger and stronger and stronger, and in the end we give up. Yeah? Now you breathe it in, yeah? And then you ask question, what is pain? Yeah? Because all our life we run away from pain. Yeah? So where is exactly the pain? Yeah? Is it in the skin? Is it in the bones? Is it the muscles? Yeah? Or is it in the tendons? Yeah? Where is the pain? Can you locate it? No. Because it's not there. It's because you have the skin since you are born. You have the muscles since you are born, and you have this and that, you know, since you are born. So you have to find out, yeah? That's what we do with investigation of pain. Where's the pain, yeah? And if you come close to the answer, you know, the pain jumps from one place to another place, and then you go there, yeah? And investigate it there. And then it jumps into the back, or it jumps into the neck, you know, and you go every place, you know, I mean, you investigate where exactly is the pain, and in the end, you know, if you are, if you have enough persistence, you know, it shows you where it comes from. But it's quite normal, you know, if you sit, you know, in the beginning, you know, the pain is also, you know, sometimes, you know, when you go skiing, you know, I mean, there's pain the first few days, you know, when you do a sport, you know, but it, you know, over the time, you know, this kind of pain will go away. But if you then, you know, I mean, once you do meditation, you know, every day, you know, then after 3 or 4 days you get used to it, and then you sit longer, then this is the pain that we need to investigate, yeah? We just get used to it, yeah? If you sit 10 or 12 hours a day, you know, I mean, yes, yeah? After a few days, you know, you will get used to the pain, you know, just like, you know, you do any kind of sport, yeah? Your body gets accustomed to the sitting, yeah? But sit comfortable. Don't stress it out. Yeah, meditation is not about sitting rigid. You know, sit comfortable, and then you know to do the work. You know, of meditating, of concentrating on the Buddha or on the breath. Yeah, or both. You know, if the mind is, you know, too jumping around, you know, put with breathing in and do with breathing out. Yeah. Okay. Any more? Yeah?
Maybe talk about a little bit about walking meditation. How long, how often, what to pay attention to.
Walking meditation is just the same as with sitting meditation. You know, we get up from the sitting meditation, we keep our Buddha, or we keep our breath, or we can change then, you know, if we had the breath, you know, for walking meditation, we can use the Buddha, yeah? And then, what I really suggest, you know, in the beginning of walking meditation, you stand, you know, at the beginning, you look towards the end, and tell yourself, just this one path, I want to be with the Buddha or with the breath. Then you go to the end, you turn around, and just say the same thing. Just this one path, I want to be with the Buddha and the breath. And you will see, you know, I mean, you lose the Buddha or the breath, you know, I mean, halfway, yeah? That's why it is always good, just this one path. Yeah? And if you do that, yeah, if you really do that, you know, I mean, you get very easily concentrated. And then it is good, you know, once you're concentrated, do it in sitting meditation. Walking meditation is easier to, you know, to concentrate. Why? because the citta has to walk the body. So it is occupied with walking the body, yeah? And the rest of the citta we have to concentrate on the breath, anaputta. That's why sitting meditation is much more difficult, yeah? So, choose whatever you want, yeah? I mean, at least, you know, 1 hour walking meditation, yeah? At least 1 hour sitting meditation, yeah? And then change, yeah? And if you can sit longer, you know, sit for 2 hours or 3 hours or 6 hours or whatever. Or walk for 3 hours, yeah? You can enter Upachara Samadhi when you do walking meditation, yeah? You just walk up, down, up, down, up, down. You're with the Buddha or with the breath, yeah? And what happens to me after a few hours, you know? I mean, suddenly I see the body walking up and down, you know, I sit there. Ah, that's interesting. You separate out, you know, you're still with the breath or with the Buddha and see the body walking. Yeah? That's Upachara Samadhi. Yeah? You cannot go into Apana Samadhi when you're walking because the body has to stop. Yeah? Okay? Okay. So, there's one question.
Yeah. Despite my Samadhi not being as good as you recommend, the body investigation now reached a stage of unbearable repulsion, realistic to the point that I sometimes cannot do it as long as the anticipated length of my session. Strong emotions are distressful for the mind, and it feels as if I was moving further away rather than closer to an anagami mind, which is my aspiration. Should I try to balance those negative emotions somehow so I can be closer to equanimity?
You can't. I mean, this is a common misunderstanding. We don't want to ban anything. We don't want to suppress anything. We want to know. Yeah. So, I mean, where's this emotion coming from? Because if you really do investigation of the body, if you investigate the loathsomeness of the body, if you cut it open, you know, and remove all the blood, pus, and whatever there is in the body, I mean, there is, while you're doing it, there's no repulsion coming up. After you finish the investigation of the body, I mean, a lot of hate, you know, a lot of, you know, emotions are coming up, yeah? Then we sit down and deal with the emotion, yeah? We look, you know, just like you said it, with investigating the feeling. We look at the feeling, yeah? And see, yeah? I mean, thinking, you know, we should ban emotions, that's not, you know, whatever comes up, you know, will come up, yeah? I mean, we cannot ban, you know, the dark clouds from coming.
Balance.
Yeah, the balance is doing samadhi. That's what the balance is, yeah? I mean, if it becomes too much, you know, yeah? Then we balance our thing, you know, with samadhi, yeah? We go into samadhi until the mind is completely concentrated and calm again, and then we go back into body investigation. Is that the answer, or what? I don't know. What else does he want to know? A stage of anagami. Ah. That's pretty tough, yeah.
I think that's answered it.
Huh?
I think that's answered it.
Okay. So, then, you know, we go back to our practice, yeah? Practice as much as you can and a little bit more. Yeah? Okay. Now, then with this I end the talk, yeah?